disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide. And that's the part. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John had risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them, and he went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you would now teach us, challenge us. Father, let this be a day that we are changed to be more like Jesus than ever before. Call us to the task. Equip us for the ministry you have for us. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready for what's happening? Are you ready for what's going on in this world? Things are changing very rapidly. Forces are actually rising up against those that call themselves Christians. We are in a day that in our lifetime we have never experienced. Are you ready? We're in a day where the church will either grow and move forward or the church will die completely. Across America, churches are folding up. Doors are closing. It's happened here in Columbus, Georgia. It could happen. It could happen to Northside Baptist Church. Now, I pray that that would never take place. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready at all times. We've got to be ready for the mission God has called us to. Jesus was all about preparing for the mission. He's using these days to get the disciples ready for what's ahead. Just think of what they had already experienced in that preparation. Just in the last chapter, in chapter 8, Jesus taught them to be faithful sowers of the word, to go to everybody to get the word out, to get the gospel out. He told them that not everybody was going to receive that gospel, but they were to go and they were to sow the seeds of the gospel anyway. They've been given the light of God, and it shouldn't be hidden. He demonstrated that he had power to calm the storms of their life, and they were going to face a lot of storms, and maybe you're in a storm today. They witnessed a crazy, demon-possessed man becoming sane. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years being healed. And to prove that he has power more than a man could ever have, he raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead to life. All of this was to get the disciples ready. All of it was to prepare not only them, but to prepare us as well. It was to strengthen their faith and our faith and to prepare us for the future. Jesus would go to Calvary's cross. He would die for the sins of all mankind. He would be buried. He would be raised. He would ascend into glory. These men would be left to carry out the message. These men were called to the mission. And by the way, the mission they are called to is the mission we are called to. not preach the gospel, if they just let it go and let whatever happens happen, then, my friend, what Jesus did on the cross would have been for very little, and we would not be here today. We are one generation away from extinction. One generation. Had those apostles not as in their generation carried the gospel forward, it would have never gotten to us. But now it is with us, and we are responsible for this generation. And if we don't carry it forward, then there is no hope for your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren. The gospel we hold can and will change lives. But Christianity has to move forward or it falls away. That's true for Christianity. That's true for a church. A church has to move forward or it falls away. We can't all be about what happened yesterday. We've had some great times. We've had a lot of excitement. We've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of accomplishments. God is blessed. We've seen people touch. We've seen lives change. It's been great. But what it has been is not what it should be today. What we do today will determine whether we're even here tomorrow. When you think of these disciples, you got to know that they were able to carry out their work because they took seriously the preparation. You think of these men, there was an inner circle. There was Peter, that big-mouth fisherman. I think a lot of us can identify with Peter. Peter had the ability to say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. Yeah, I know Peter. I can identify with this big-mouth fisherman. And yet, being prepared by Jesus, he was able to minister mainly among the Jews. He would write the two New Testament epistles, and he would be crucified for his faith on a cross upside down, for he said he was not worthy to be crucified in the manner of his Lord. There was James, sometimes called the elder. He preached in Jerusalem and Judea. James was beheaded for his stand for the Lord God. John, the son of Zebedee and the brother of James, he wrote five New Testament books. I am most thankful for John. I really am, because John used the easiest Greek that you can use to get through when you're in seminary. Luke, not so much. John, I believe, was a Baptist preacher. If you're a Baptist preacher, you had to develop a tough skin. He developed a tough skin. How do I know he had a tough skin? Because they tried to kill him and they couldn't. They boiled him in oil and he survived. John, out of the disciples, out of the apostles, was the only one actually to die a natural death, even though they had tried to execute him. Andrew. We need Andrews. Andrew was Peter's brother. Every time you see Andrew, he's just bringing somebody else to Jesus. Hey, we need men who will bring other men to Jesus. We're not asking you to do a lot. Just bring somebody else in. Find somebody, bring somebody. That's what Andrew did. Andrew was faithful to the end, and he, not wanting to be crucified in the manner of the Lord, was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Nathaniel, Bartholomew, he may have been of royal blood. It's kind of interesting to think of these men that were seen as being lowly. One of them might have actually been one of the royal household. His name means son of Talmai. Talmai was the king of Geshur. Nathaniel preached in Armenia and in India. And in India, get this, he was flayed. Zealot, the brother of Matthew. He preached in Egypt and preached very forcefully and was killed, his body sawed into pieces. Matthew, Levi, had been a tax collector. Now, the Bible gives us a little hint into their lives. You know, you've got his brother, James, who is a zealot. You got Matthew, who's a tax collector. But zealots hated Rome, hated everything to do with Rome, lived their lives to overthrow Rome. Tax collectors worked for Rome. What we have is a little civil war that was taking place in that family. I don't know how long it had been since Matthew had actually talked to his brother James or James to Matthew. How did they ever get together? Jesus. Jesus has the power to heal families, to pull families together. Well, Matthew did work for Rome. He might have been divided at one time, but he came and followed the Lord, and the Lord brought him closer to his brother. He was killed in Ethiopia. Jude preached in Assyria and Persia, where he was killed with arrows. Philip preached in Persia and was martyred in Hierapolis by hanging. Philip did not want to be. He didn't want his body to be handled as Jesus' body was handled. And so he told him to wrap his body in papyrus and paper instead of in linen like Jesus' body was wrapped. Simon the Zealot was crucified. Thomas Didymus preached in India and was martyred with a spear. That's S-P-E-A-R. The last of all, Judas Iscariot, well, Judas was part of that original 12, but you understand, never really became a believer, went out and hanged himself. But what about Matthias? Matthias that took his place. Matthias who God tapped to stand as an apostle. Well, he preached the gospel, and for that he was stoned to death. I am telling you, these were men that were not casual about their faith. These were men that were prepared to stand against unthinkable horrors. These were men that stuck with what Jesus called them to do till their dying moment. They were able to stand boldly in life and death because they were prepared. They were strong in faith. They believed in the resurrected Christ. Because of what Jesus had done to prepare them, they were willing to stand no matter what happened to them. I am going to tell you, friends, we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready for what's coming. Don't know what it is, but we've got to be ready for whatever it is. And we've got to be moving out as God has called us to move out. They were prepared by the power in 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. Now, we understand that the scriptures is speaking of Jesus equipping and sending out his apostles on a special time and a special ministry. However, what we see here does set forth a principle that applies to us in our life before all times. Jesus is preparing disciples for ministry. He prepares us for ministry. He prepares us for a mission and for a task. These men have been with Jesus for 2 years. They've seen great works of power. They've heard him preach in great authority. They have watched him pray. God called them together, the Bible says. He called them. If you are a believer, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, let me tell you, it is because God has called you. We think God calls preachers, and you need to have a preacher that has been called by God. And as much as I know what the Lord's calling on my life, that's why I'm here. But you have a calling. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. Your task is just as important as my task. given. He has called you as an individual, and he has called us collectively as a church. Listen, we are not supposed to be just a building on 54th Street. We are to be a powerful force for Almighty God to break down the gates of hell. That's our job. To see souls come to Jesus one by one by one by one, and there are so many out there, and we are here for that purpose. He's called you to personal salvation. I hope you've answered that call. No, nobody could ever be saved and forgiven if they were not first called. God puts that on a call to your life. You might think, well, I'll get saved any old time I want to. No, no, you won't. You can only answer God's call to salvation when he's calling, and he called. This is why it's so dangerous for God to move you in your heart and for you to know that you need to be saved, and you walk out the door without being saved. God puts a call on your life. You need to answer the call when he gives you that call. And believer, when God calls you to talk to a lost person, when God calls you to minister to someone in the name of Jesus, that is a call of God that you need not neglect. Now, after they had responded to God's call of salvation, there was a call to service. And the apostles certainly had a particular call to service. They were equipped. God will never place a ministry before you without equipping you for the task. He gives you what you need for what you're going to face. Now, God equipped them. Jesus gave them power. This is the ability to accomplish the task that was before them. Believer, if you will walk with God, he will give you what you need for what you face. I'm ready for the future. You just got to be ready for today. You just got to be ready for now. You got to be ready for the next step. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus gives them power to cast out demons and to heal diseases. Now, understand, these were everyday men that were called to carry a message they didn't expect in ways that in themselves they had no power to do. Their primary task was not healing the sick. Their primary task was not casting out demons. Their primary task was taking the power of God and sharing the gospel that souls might come to Jesus. The very fact that Jesus could equip the apostles with power to cast out demons and to heal diseases showed that he was more than just a good teacher. This is Almighty God sending them out. And my friend, you've got to understand, at Northside Baptist Church, if you are saved, it is Almighty God that gives you your job. It is Almighty God that sends you out. It is Almighty God that wants to win your neighbor through you. It's Almighty God that puts these lost men around you at the baseball field or at the football field or at work so that you can have an impact on their lives. We are serving an Almighty God. He has the power we need to do the task he lays before us. You may be here today and you may need to be saved and you may think, well, I can never walk down that aisle. I can never do that. Perhaps it would be difficult. Can I tell you, all you need is the faith in Jesus to take one step. And then after you take that one step, he'll give you the power to take the next step. Step by step, he'll give you the power you need to make the decision he is waiting for. Called everybody he's ever called publicly, so he will call you publicly. He will give you the power you need to do what he has called you to do, to respond to the gospel. gave them power, he also gave them authority. Now, the authority is a little bit different from the power. It has to do with his, with their position. You see, by being in Christ, they were children of Almighty God. They were in a position. Have you ever seen a strongman competition? Have you ever seen these people pull trucks? I saw a man pull a truck with his teeth. I don't think Dennis would encourage that, but I did see that do that. I have seen a little woman, I mean little woman, stop a truck thousands of pounds with one hand without ever breaking a fingernail. In fact, I've seen that same woman hold a whole line of vehicles with that same hand. It wasn't by strength. It was because she was happened to be wearing a police uniform. Her position gave her the authority to carry out the mission. You are a child of Almighty God. You have a position in God to carry out the mission. Listen, when I go to talk to somebody about Jesus, I am not going as some superior being. I am not going as someone who is perfect or has been perfect. I am going in His authority. And on the basis of the fact that He reached out to meet a sinner and save me, in that position of authority, I'm one sinner telling another sinner where to find Jesus. And so He gives that authority. He calls us, He sends us, He equips us with the power we need for the task. And as His children, as His followers, He gives us the authority we need to carry it out. These apostles didn't have the power to heal common cold. God gave them what they needed. They didn't have the authority to tell anybody what to do, much less a demon. Oh, but in Jesus, they were equipped beyond their abilities. You may think you are powerless to stand in your current situation. Some of you are in very difficult situations. I am sorry for the situation you find yourself in. The God who loved you, the God who died for you, is the same God who will hold you up and carry you through what you're facing. You stand with Him. There is preparation by the power. There's preparation by the plan in the 2 and 3. When He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, and He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bag nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats. Now, Jesus didn't always send them out this way. One time He sent them out and told them not only to take their bag, but to take the sword along. Depends on where you're going, I guess. He equipped them a little bit differently in the positions. But this is a training mission. He didn't want them to take anything so that they would just trust Him. So they would trust Him for every little thing. You want to walk with God, you need to learn to trust Him in where you are and what you do. Trust Him in the little things. What are the little things? Going to church is a little thing. Trust Him enough to get up and be in Sunday school. Trust Him enough to get up and be in worship. Trust Him enough, hey, try this. We have church on Sunday nights. I know, very few people do. Trust Him one night to follow Him there. Or on Wednesday night when we pray and that time of power and we worship in prayer and Bible study. Trust Him enough for those things. That's a little thing. Trust Him enough to tithe. Trust Him with money. Hey, if you can't trust Jesus with money, you can't trust Him with your soul. So trust Him there. And as you begin to build layers of trust in these little things, trust Him in loving somebody that's unlovable. Trust Him in forgiving somebody that you need to forgive. As you begin to build the layers of trust, when the storms come, be able to stand because you followed His pattern and you followed His plan and you just kept on trusting. God will provide for you, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So God sets up this training exercise. They're going to need to be prepared for what's coming, no matter what they have or don't have. Can't you imagine, after Jesus ascended, when they were facing the foes of Rome, when they were being persecuted for their faith, when they were dying for their faith, don't you think some of them look back on this time and were thankful that God had done that? That Jesus had prepared them, and they were able to stand. How do you keep going when you reach the end of what you can see? You just trust Him and take another step. Someone wrote this, I kind of like it. It says, when God leads you to the edge of a cliff, trust Him fully and let go. Only one of two things can happen. Either He will catch you when you fall, or He will teach you how to fly. If you are walking with God, He will guide you in the mission. If you will follow His plan, doing the things He has laid before you, your faith will grow for the mission. When you're on mission for Jesus, don't waste time on those that reject you. Talks about dusting the sand off your feet. The Jews had this little thing they would do if they were around Gentile country and in Gentile country, and then they were fixing to go back into Israel. They just wouldn't walk over the borders of Israel. No, they had been with the Gentiles, the ungodly. They would dust off their feet. They would shake the dust off their feet. Then they would step into Israel. So in the same manner, Jesus is saying, listen, the ungodly are those that reject me. And when people reject me, when people reject the message, it's time to move on. Listen, sometimes we need to move on. We need to be persistent with people. We need to be consistent with people. We need to be getting the gospel to people again and again and again. But there comes a time when we can't be weighed down with the people that have said no. We got to look for the ones that are going to say yes. And so we continue to move and we continue to reach out and we continue to follow God's plan. Jesus said, preach the gospel. If they receive it, rejoice. Stay and teach them. But if they reject, don't let that rejection slow you down. As a believer, we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to keep telling people about Jesus. And if they say no, they're not saying no to us. They're saying no to Jesus. Just keep on telling people. What if they don't come? Keep telling people until they do come. Keep telling people until you find the one that will come. There's somebody out there that's going to be receptive. We need to find those people. And then they were prepared by the performance. In verse 10, it says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. Can you imagine? They couldn't keep quiet. They were so excited. Hey, I talked to this person. They had a demon. I cast that demon out. That demon ran out of that man. What a time that was. I had a person that was sick of a palsy, and just like you, Jesus, I told him to get up in your name, and he got up. And I got to tell him about salvation, and he got on his knees, and he prayed with me, and he received you. Oh, what a story they had to tell, how excited they were. There is power in obeying the Lord. There is power in going for the Lord. There is power in sharing the gospel. Listen, if you don't think you've got the words to say, just go to somebody with the intent to witness. Say a few words. God will fill in the blanks. And give them an opportunity to receive or reject Jesus Christ, and God will fill that time with power. And then when you come back to God's house, oh, listen, this is part of Sunday school. Get in Sunday school class and tell them what Jesus has done this week. Tell them how Jesus moved this week, how Jesus worked this week in your life. And when you share those things, it encourages somebody. And they're able to stand. And they're able to go forward. And they're able to tell. And the next week, they've got the story. While they were rejoicing, poor old Herod is in misery. Herod's wondering what's going on. He's hearing about this miracle worker. He's saying, I cut off John's head. It couldn't be John. I cut off John's head. How in the world is he thinking that John, who I cut off his head, is out there doing some major miracles? Or maybe it's Elijah, or maybe it's one of the prophets that's risen from the dead. He's being tormented. You know why he's being tormented? He's being tormented because he's chosen sin over God. He's chosen to stay in his world of ungodliness instead of reaching out to Jesus. I fully believe with my whole heart that Herod reached out to Jesus, he could have been saved. But no, he abandoned the thought of Jesus. And when he abandoned the thought of Jesus, that sin began to eat him alive. That's what sin will do. Sin will turn on you. Sin will destroy you. Guilt will just eat away at you until there is very little left of you. If you stay in your sin will destroy you. But if you answer the call, if you answer the call, if you just say yes to Jesus, if you're here and you never invited Jesus into your heart to save your soul, then today is the day. Just take that first step. He'll help you take the next step. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. You will be saved today. Believer, maybe you've allowed too much sin to get into your life, and that's why you're not effective for the Lord. And today, you need to turn from the sin and turn back to Jesus, asking Him to forgive you. He will. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you know what you need to do? Work the plan. Start telling people about Jesus. Start talking to people about what God has done in your life. And watch in amazement as Jesus works His wonders through you to touch others. Peter, just a big mouth fisherman. Peter made probably as many public mistakes as anybody you would ever know. Yet when you think of Peter, he led the early church to reach the lost world. God can do that with Peter. Oh, think what he can do with you. You just have to be willing. So in just a moment, would you be willing? Believers, perhaps you need to come to this altar and pray. Other people, for yourself, for situations, circumstances. Maybe you need to just get right. If that's true, then you need to get right. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need to come to Jesus. Let's stand for that. Father, I thank you for our time together. I pray now, Father, that you would move in our hearts toward Jesus. I know, Father, that your Spirit has touched lives. I know that there are individuals that need to make a move this morning. Let this be their time. Father, if they don't know you, let them come to know you. If they've never made a public profession of faith, let this be the time, Father. If they know you, Father, and need to serve you in a better way,